بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah who is Ar-Rahman.
Allah
who is Al-Mannan.
La ilaha illa.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs with me, Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Rouhani from the Islamic House of Qom is the special guest speaker for today's discussion. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Today's question asks, Sheikh, why dog is considered impure in the religion of Islam? What is the main reason and philosophy behind the impurity of the dog?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, one point that I should mention here prior to delving into the main topic, that is this, that sometimes when something is considered impure and najis from the Sharia law perspective, that might not be considered as dirt or as a dirty thing normally by the people.
You mean unclean? Impurity unclean, is different,
yeah,
from
yeah,
unclean.
It's different, yes.
That's right,
yes.
Okay, very good.
For example, dust is something that normally people might consider it as something unclean or let's say something like dirty. Mm-hmm. For example, when your clothes is full of, for example, dust and clay, for example, you try to wash it, remove it, because you consider it as something unclean, or as you consider that your shirt as dirty shirt. But when you want to say the prayer, and Sharia, Islam says that there's no problem with that. You can say your prayer with that. You can perform Salat while, for example, your shirt is, for example, muddy or full of dust, for example,
that's
these
right.
sort of things.
That's right.
So then impurity is religious impurity or Sharia impurity, Shari'i impurity is something. Dirtiness or uncleanliness is something else.
All right.
That should be clarified. For example, when there is a drop of blood, if it, for example, falls into a cold water, yeah?
Yes.
It becomes najis.
Yes.
But if the amount of water is more than cold water, then it becomes not najis.
Mm-hmm.
So while this is like kind of Sharia law that makes it najis and the other one najis, but according to the people, might the first one would not be dirty, not be unclean normally.
Okay.
So it depends on the thing that we have to know, that Sharia is something.
Mm-hmm.
Non-Sharia kind of cleanliness or uncleanliness is something else. This
That's
is
right.
the first.
Okay.
Then when it comes to najasa or the dirt, let's say the impurity of the dog.
Yes.
Same question may arise here, that when it is said that it is unclean or it is impure or it is najis, does it mean that that natural kind of uncleanness, natural kind of dirtiness, or is it something else?
Yes.
Sometimes, for example, people might think that, okay, I, for example, washed completely my dog with different shampoos. I don't know, very, very, now my dog is very much clean and very much, you know.
Now, Sheikh, you cannot believe that these pet shops all across the world, the dog section, are really, really rich in terms of shampoos or soaps or, I don't know, cleaning materials. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. So then they would say that, okay, now my dog is clean.
Okay.
Yeah. As I say,
trimmed and clean, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. When Islam says that something is impure, of course, sometimes we may understand some of the wisdoms and hikmas or behind these kind of ahkam of Islam. There is a very great scholar, Shaykh Thani, wrote a book like Dalail al-Sharia.
Mm-hmm.
And that book, many of these ahkam are explained. But of course, we cannot claim that we can understand and realize the real reason behind these ahkam of Islam. Some of the hikams or some of the wisdoms might be understood. That is why dog is considered as najis in the riwayat, in ahadith of the Ahl al-Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam. It is explicitly mentioned by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam that dogs are najis and unclean and impure. So that's why the impurity of dog should be explained in this way.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. Now let's get to some details. Is selling and buying dogs haram too?
No, there's no problem with that, you know, if you sell and buy dogs. The point is that you should not bring dog inside your house, inside, for example, your room. They should not touch, for example, the things that you use every day.
Or, for example, you cannot eat or drink from vessel that
the place you pray, they should not be there, for example.
All right.
These are the things. But even, for example, if you, and Sharia says that if you touch a dog with a dry hand, and dog is also dry, there's no problem with that. If there is witness on your hand, or for example, on the body of dog, if this witness transformed to your hand from the body of dog, then that is the problem.
Then what should we do? We should wash
our hands? They have to wash, you have to clean, But if, for example, dog is dry and your hand is also dry, you touch it, there's no problem with
that. So keeping dogs inside the house of a Muslim, is it forbidden?
In a special, for example, part of your house, you have to dedicate a special kind of, I don't know, place or shelter for the dog.
But not inside the house, you mean?
You should be kept over there, yes.
In the yard, for
example.
Yes,
yes. For example, if dog comes inside and go to, for example, to the kitchen and, I don't know, eat something or drink something from the, let's say, the dishes that you use, then, of course, there would be problem. And also, if dog urinate, for example, somewhere inside the house, that would be completely impure because, according to the Sharia law, such a thing should not happen in the house of a mu'min.
That's right.
Because a mu'min says prayer, and the place that you say prayer should be pure, should be clean. And you should not pray, for example, you cannot pray in the place which is not pure or which is impure.
Right. Are there any type of specific dogs which can be kept? For example, the dog of a cattle or for a shepherd or something like that?
No. You know, when it comes to the najasa work, in impurity of dog, all dogs are impure.
Okay.
We cannot say that, for example, this specific type of dog is clean and that one is not clean. No. All of them are impure according to Islam. If you want to keep them, of course, you have to keep them outside the house in the yard or somewhere that it could not, for example, make najis your house, your clothing, your dishes, your places that you live in and you pray there.
Nowadays, we could see that so many of the, we can say, people who are living in the Western, liberal capital communities, they have dogs inside their house up to an extent that even the dog is somehow acting like a child to them. So what are the negative effects of keeping dogs in house, Sheikh?
You know, Islam is the religion of purity, of tahara.
Yes.
Tahara is very much focused in Islam. Islam tells Muslimin that you have to wash your face, your hands every day by making ablution before the prayer. At least you five times wash yourself every day. And when you want to go to the prayer, to say the prayer, you have to be clean, you have to be pure, because you are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why when you enter a house, you see that the people in that house do not care about the najasa or the purity or impurity. It is better for mu'min not to go in such kind of places. If he goes there, then he has to clean, he has to wash, for example, his hands, the body, the clothes, because you have to pray. A mu'min should pray every day. Then absolutely you have to be pure, you have to be clean. Bodily clean and also spiritually clean. Both kind of cleanliness are wajib, are obligatory in Islam. So that's why if you see some people do not care about najasat, For example, unfortunately, there are people who when they go to the toilet, they do not wash themselves.
Yes, unfortunately.
So of course, Islam says that in these kind of cases, you have to be careful. When you, for example, with wet hand, you touch them, you touch the vehicles, you touch the furniture, you touch, for example, even the wall, the dishes, whatever they touch, because they do not care about this purification that in Islam it is ordered, then of course you cannot be careless about these kind of things as a mu'min, as a Muslim.
That's all right. Okay, very good. Thank you very much, Sheikh. It was very kind of you. Nice elaboration. Beside dog, pig is also considered as najis or impure in Islam.
Al-ayn, yes.
That's right. Okay. It was very kind of you. We must know that also eating from dog's meat or flesh is also forbidden in Islam.
Yes, it's not allowed. Of course,
in Islam to use or consume the dog's meat. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. Please, for more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن.
Pigs and dogs are not permissible to consume for Muslims. So, does that mean we can be unkind to the pigs and the dogs? No. We should be very kind to all living creatures. في كل كبد رطبة أجر. There is a reward in everything that is living, everything that has a liver. Subhanallah. MashaAllah. My brothers and sisters, many people think that because pigs are prohibited to consume, we're allowed to throw stones at the pigs, we're allowed to actually abuse these pigs. That's not true. Be they pigs or dogs or cats or whatever else it may be. There is a narration of the Prophet. He speaks about someone who was kind to a dog and earned the forgiveness of Allah as a result. Why was a dog mentioned? Although dogs are not permissible to consume, and there are certain restrictions when it comes to our relation with a dog. But at the same time, it was the case in order to prove to us that we should never be unkind to any animal, no matter what it is. In fact, even if it comes to lions and snakes and whatever else it may be, you cannot be unkind to these animals. A harmful animal that's coming for you or that is on the line of harm, you may want to kill that animal or that creature if it is harmful. Say, for example, a snake. If it's going to harm you, you may kill it, but you cannot torture it. You must try to kill it in the quickest possible way. That's what it is. Subhanallah, if you're in the line of harm, but you don't go around to the natural habitats of these animals and start singling them out and torturing them, harming them. The same applies to rodents and rats. Sometimes we have rodents in houses, and sometimes we have certain insects and cockroaches and creatures and so on. Don't torture them. That's the bottom line. We're taught not to torture. Some people torture the rats. I remember a young kid who used to put these rats in milk bottles and electrocute them and get joy by seeing these rats being sizzled by electricity little by little. That's not good. That is prohibited. It is also a creature. Yes, you want to get rid of it? Get rid of it quickly. A quick one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. We're not allowed to be unkind to any creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those that are harmful, those that are not harmful. Those that are within what we can consume and those that are not within that. Remember, this advice is golden. And if you're not allowed to be harming any creature, remember the humankind is right at the top of that list. So for you to harm a fellow human being, ooh, the price is payable in hard cash. Subhanallah. The price is payable in something really severe. So don't mess with other human beings as well. Be kind to one another. Subhanallah, we're even taught not to call each other bad names. We're taught, the Quran clearly says, لَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Don't call each other names that are disliked by the other. Don't use titles that are derogatory, because it will hurt people. If hurting people, abstaining from it, goes to this level, then imagine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. May Allah forgive us all and make us from those who care for all the creatures of Allah. And like I said, if you truly have to get rid of an animal or a creature or an insect, let's do it in the best way possible, the quickest way possible, without torturing these animals unnecessarily.
إن في الجنة نهراً من لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محباً لهم كل من كان محباً لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن. حسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسان